Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Psalms, the 85th Psalm, which is a psalm that's a plea for the Lord to be present and save the people. To the leader of the Korahites, a psalm. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Selah. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue hearing from Scripture, or turning to the Gospel of Mark as he begins his account of the life and ministry of Jesus. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, now confessing their sin. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Probably more than just a few years ago, a friend of mine from seminary and I were going to be at the same conference for clergy. And we agreed to meet in a hotel lobby at 6 o'clock on a free evening. I got to the hotel and sat down. At 6, I started to watch the lobby carefully, looking for my friend. At 6:30, I began to worry that something had happened to him. I tried calling him. He asked me where I was. I said, "The lobby." He said, "So am I." It turns out that this very large hotel had two lobbies. We had been waiting in different ones, and in effect, I had been waiting for someone who, in one sense, was already there. I was looking for someone who had already arrived. Now, in our Christian tradition, the celebration of Christ taking flesh in our world happens at Christmas. And that celebration is preceded by 4 weeks of watching, waiting, hoping, and praying. Our Advent waiting is in many ways the same kind of waiting and watching I was doing in that hotel. Because we know Christ has been born, we are waiting for somebody who has already arrived. We are waiting for Christ, who is still present here and now, by the gift of the Holy Spirit despite his ascension into heaven. Advent scriptures tell us to watch and to look. But are we looking for something that we already partly have? The one who saves us is already in our midst. Through his words in scripture, through sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism, through the community of faith of which we are a part, and through his Spirit breathing within us. Advent is a word that means coming and calls us to focus on the way that Christ comes into our world. As I said, we know he came to us at Christmas, born of Mary, greeted by wise men. He's already come. And we know that he is coming again with glory. That was the focus of last week's scripture. The scripture assures us he will come again to reveal fully his truth. And we often forget or don't focus on it at this time of year. Christ is present in your life and in mine right now and each day. The time of year when we say the Lord is near, and being near is about both time and space. I enjoy word plays. I put it that way. My daughters say I like bad puns. But I thought of today's scripture and the message both in terms of immanence, I-M-M-I-N-E-N-C-E, and immanence, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-C-E. Immanence speaks to Christ's soon-to-be arrival. Immanence reveals a Lord who already in ways dwells within. And both of those are part of our Advent waiting. The coming one is already here. So perhaps we can ask ourselves a different Advent question. This Advent, am I in the right lobby? In other words, have I been paying attention to where the Lord is here and now? Have I've been seeking to share what Jesus has called me to do and to be? If we answer those questions seriously, we'll find that the Lord, who sometimes feels so far off, is actually close to us. And that's a comforting feeling. It was comforting to the people of ancient Israel. Mark quoted the prophet Isaiah, who wrote to a people in the aftermath of the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem, seeking to bring comfort to those who were in exile in Babylon. The prophets had warned that people's behavior would have consequences. And they had, not just in terms of some future judgment, but in the here and now. And the prophet reminded God's chosen people they were called to be a holy people. And yet, back then and today, so often God's people choose to rationalize other forms of behavior, other focuses for this season. This is a commercial time of year, and a minister once joked that, you know, on the second Sunday of Advent, we should say we light this candle in honor of the 14 shopping days left until Christmas. About 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, as I said, Jerusalem had been captured. Eventually, they were restored. And the comfort that Mark quotes in his scripture that John helped give was there for the people. But they weren't the last people to ask, where is God? Will God help us? How long must we wait? They prayed, they pleaded, they watched. They had confusion. The confusion that happens when the world, as we know it, gets turned upside down, and things that used to give us strength seem no longer within our grasp. And I think our world today knows how that feels. I was reading an article this past week that said we still haven't dealt well with all the trauma and turmoil that the COVID pandemic caused. We're still living in a confusing world, and it feels like the world as we knew it was turned upside down and hasn't fully righted itself yet. And people miss things that used to give them strength, like stress-free trips out in public without worrying about checking how prevalent respiratory diseases are. The fellowship of a group that used to meet regularly but hasn't fully reorganized yet. Dinners out, hugs from grandchildren. These things have been taken away for a while for all of us. And I wonder, in our return from COVID exile, which I think is still happening, do we ever ask, where is God? When will God set things right and get it back to the way it used to be? How long must we wait? Are you near, Lord? Well, the psalmist this morning tells us that the one who will heal us is already here. Let me hear what the Lord God will speak. He will speak peace to his people, to his faithful. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Even as John told the people of his day to get ready for the Messiah's coming, they didn't quite realize the Messiah was already there. He'd been there for 30 years after being born of Mary, living up in Nazareth. The Savior whose coming was announced by John was already in the neighborhood. Many people in our world wonder, where is God? When is God coming to straighten out this mess? While we wait, we strive to serve the Lord the best we can. God is near, is the message of Scripture. And near is enough. God is not just imminent, but immanent. We aren't just waiting. God already dwells with us. Advent is a season of now and here. The whole story of Advent is a story of how God can't be kept out of our lives, and Jesus is present. Amen.